Welcome to the World Service Conference 2019 Fellowship Day. My name is Margaret. I'm a debtor. Please join me in opening with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. If you're having problems with money and debt and think you may be a compulsive debtor, you have come to the right place. Debtors Anonymous can help you. We offer face-to-face, telephone, and internet meetings, and we suggest attending at least 6 meetings to have an opportunity to identify with the speakers and become familiar with DA before deciding whether or not this program is for you. If you identify with some or all aspects of compulsive debting, we hope you will join us on the path of recovery and find the peace, joy, and love that we have found in Debtors Anonymous.
Hello, good people of DA.
Would you like yourself to be timed?
What's the total? 10?
10.
Let's do like 3, 3, and then like 1 last minute. Might be for the end.
3, 3 is 6, and then you want 4.
And then I just want 1 right before the end. Sorry, guys, I'm math challenged. Hi, I'm Zoya. I'm a compulsive debtor. I'm sorry, I'm trying to multitask, which is not a good idea for this debtor. Okay, hi. All right, so I'm going to try and I'm really grateful to have an opportunity to share on the tools. And I'm just going to, we basically had a little conference just now and decided not to divide the tools and speak each to each, but basically we're going to free form it. And whatever tools we want to.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, would you please bring the mic a bit closer to me?
Yes. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we're just going to sort of freestyle it here and talk about the tools that, you know, probably one is working the most at the moment. And then Chris has kindly volunteered to, quote unquote, clean it up at the end. Whatever we miss, he's going to cover. So I'd like to start with the A's. I'm going to start with abstinence. I believe that's a tool. Is it not? Okay, good. Yes. Let's just double check. It's not.
It's not.
It's a tool in my other program. Okay, so it is? Wait.
Action, plan, anonymity, and awareness.
Okay. So, yeah, there's plenty of A's to go around. So, action plan. On the way here, a thought visited me about that. That was really kind of, it's amazing to me when things are on the surface and I don't see them. And then suddenly it's like, wow. So I live well when I follow a plan, whether it be a spending plan. I also have a food plan. And when the idea of a plan is presented to me, my first and immediate response is rebellion and a sense of, oh, this is going to be so dull. That's, you know, I live with, I would say, a phobia of dullness, that I, you know, of things being dull. And it's something I've discovered recently about myself. And it sounds, you know, funny or whatever, but it's not funny. It's really it's not a sustainable way to live when one's criteria for choosing direction is whether or not something is going to be fun or not. It doesn't work, at least for me. I believe that I don't have to renounce all fun, but I have to, you know, I have to be guided by other principles other than, is this dull or is this fun? And that's how I've always made my choices. That's 3, right? Thank you. So anyways, when I was presented with the idea of a spending plan in here, it sounded really boring and overwhelming, and I have since come to find that it's too long to, you know, there's not enough time to talk about it. I have come to find that a plan is a loving and gentle structure for me to really, to support me in flying, you know, like much like a spine supports me as I walk and supports everything that goes on and like inside this human being, I wouldn't be any good if I didn't have a spine, right? I need a rigid structure to hold me up and to allow all the spontaneous, quote unquote, fun things to occur. And so I don't have to renounce fun and spontaneity. I just have to recognize that in order for fun and spontaneity to occur, that one needs a spine and one needs a plan. So the thought I had this morning was, I've been struggling with God's plan. And I thought, well, you already are on board with food plan, spending plan, earning plan. Let's get on board with God's plan. And I literally had this conversation with myself today because I was writing a step earlier this morning, and it was like, are you willing to see God's will? And I was like, no. That was my honest answer, no. And so between the time I wrote that and the time I got here in the car, I had this thought about our plans. And I was like, why not? Plans are good. You know that. And so I was like, okay. And I settled that. And I hope it stays settled. I think it will. So that's my, you know, pitch on spending plan. And then anonymity is something... this program is the only program where people speak openly about what they do, how much money they have, and where it's encouraged. And I am deeply in favor of that. However, I noticed that one of our program chairs sent mass emails for the hosting committee while signing her credentials to the thing. In my mind, that's a breach of anonymity because I'm not supposed to promote my business in the context of our program. It's a small thing. So it's a tricky thing. I have just learned literally from somebody who I really respect, who is very well rooted in AA traditions, that apparently breaking my, that for me to state my last name, thank you. I hear that that's one more minute.
Three more minutes.
Oh, okay.
And then one after.
Thank you. That for me to say to you, I'm Zoya Spivakovsky, now this is going out into the world, and I am a compulsive debtor, that's breaking my anonymity on, I've always felt like that was a really bad idea. But to be honest with you, when I borrow money from you in the hundreds and thousands of dollars, you already know I'm a debtor. When my customers or potential partners Google my name, there's some really hairy shit that comes up. And I can't afford, you know, to spend $10,000 a month to clean that page up from my wreckage of the past. So anonymity, schmimity, you know, it's like that boat has sailed. I am really preparing for myself. Now, I would never say anybody's last name in here, in a meeting, or anywhere else. But I don't have a Facebook account because I was like, well, what about my anonymity? What if somebody from program, I have a public life. I have two different professions. Like, no, I'm kind of over it as of recently. I'm ready to join the human race, flawed, you know, not together, with tremendous wreckage of the past, financial specifically. It's amazing to me how much wreckage I've incurred. I'm in several programs, and the wreckage in here is outrageous. And I am very gently addressing it, but it's monumental for me in terms of just numbers of debt that I, you know, so easily incurred in this disease. So that's, I guess, my what I wanted to say on anonymity. One other thing, I had an experience I guess a cautionary tale. One time I heard somebody's fifth step, and it involved a crime, and it was a particularly violent crime, and so I myself was I was glad that the person he just needed to give it to somebody, because it's a really bad idea to sit with a fourth step like that. So he gave it to me. It was I'm glad I was there. And then I called somebody and I was like, I'm really triggered. Like, I don't, you know, I know this is confidential. We're not mandated reporters, you guys, by the way. If a compulsive debtor can't share that they stabbed a baby, I don't care what they did to us, and we can't keep that confidential, there's no hope for a compulsive debtor. So I feel very strongly that stuff you share with me goes to my grave. But, and I hear that one more minute. So what happened was, in sharing that, I felt like I needed to say what it was. The person that I was speaking to guessed who the person was. And so I inadvertently had broken his anonymity just by confidentially sharing it without ever naming him. So tread carefully, you guys. Tread carefully. I had to call the guy and tell him and apologize. I think I'm going to stop there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Five and four.
Sure.
Great. Hi, my name is Mark, recovering this program. I'm very, very excited to be here. I'm excited to see so many people. Actually, I was telling Stephanie when I walked into the lobby, it was like, whoa, like abundance. Like, there's a nice hotel, there's a nice lobby. It's not like some dingy place, like, you know, in the basement that they send us, you know, which is like, you know, what, you know, I'm by default, you know, think I deserve. So, you know, this is great. The tools for me, the one that I like to focus on most apparently is not a tool, which is figuring it out. So, my sponsors have told me, and my PRG people told me that I have to take direction. And so for me, the biggest help for me have been PRGs, because I have to actually listen to people tell me what their take is, you know, for my next steps. And one of my first PRGs that I went to, I had 3 months of numbers. I had, I'd written out what I wanted to get out of this PRG. I was very clear about emotionally what I wanted, financially what I wanted, and I read all that out to them, and they said, "That's awesome, really great, Mark, really great, thank you." So let's look at the numbers. And I was like, right. So here's my numbers. I just sort of like, here's the debt. Yeah, $36,000. Anyway, so what I'm really looking for in terms of the relief of this thing. And so they're like, great. They listen. Great. That's great. So back to the numbers. And now I'm pissed. I'm so pissed because I'm like, it says I get to say what I want out of this, and it has nothing to do with like clarity of my numbers. So we went back over my numbers again, and what the point was is, for the last year and a half, to their knowledge, which was really my whole life, I make less than I spend. And so my fear was they were going to tell me, if I got clarity on these numbers, that they're going to say, so here's a budget for you, because that's always been the trigger for me, is the budget. And we'll give you a budget, and this is how much you have to spend, and you can no longer have coffee, and you can no longer have this, and you have to, like, your vision is shit, and you're not going to be able to go get a job. But they didn't say that. They said, we're going to come up with a spending plan for you today. And it's going to start with you and not your debt. Because I was saying, well, I was paying like around $750 a month in debt repayment. but I was only making, you know, maybe $4,000. So I couldn't afford to keep doing that. And so we sat down and went through all those clarity on a spending plan. And then at the end of it, they had me with all these actions. And so part of it was I needed to earn an extra $2,000 a month, which to me was like, you might as well say $2 million a month. Like that's how it felt. And they said, so great. So what is it that you, where do you make the most money on? They're looking at my thing. I was like, I do, you know, art department props and stuff on the commercials. They're like, great. So you'll do more of that. I was like, no. See, okay. So remember when I read the thing, it says, I want to have this flourishing career as an actor, director, writer, producer, photographer, blah, 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 blah. You know, they're like, It's great. It's really great. So we suggest that you work more props because that's where you make the most money. And now at this point, I'm super pissed. And I write all these things down. And what happened was, briefly, was I did what they said. And part of it was to do more props. It was to reach out to people that could hire me to do more props. It was to reach out to people that could hire me as a director, or as a writer, as a producer. And that year, in the year from that PRG to three PRGs later, to a full year later, I'd made more money than I'd ever made as a prop guy. More money than I'd ever made as an actor, as a director, and as a producer. And it didn't make sense to me, because I felt like I was selling my soul when I left that, you know, the coffee place in the valley, and I walked out of there thinking, this is why I don't want to be in this program. This is why I don't want someone to tell me what to do. This has been my whole problem, is nobody knows me like I know me. Thank you. So for me, the big thing was to take direction, to listen. And the other thing that the loving woman had suggested was, do you go to meetings? And I was like, yeah, I go like a couple meetings a week sometimes, you know, when I'm not busy. And do you have a sponsor? And I was like, I almost found somebody. They're really great. I'm going to ask somebody. So basically she said, I need to get a sponsor. I need to go to meetings. And she suggested 90 and 90. And yeah, thank you. And that's what I was feeling. I thought I was super important, and I had 90 and 90. Is that, who has time for that? Like, not me, because I'm unemployed. And have to find, you know, dream about my job. So I did the 90-90. I got a sponsor. I started working the steps, and all those things that I mentioned happened over that year. And as a result of that, you would think, I get it. So I just need to do this every day. I wake up, I do these things. So after that year of making that huge thing, I fell back into my laurels of like, okay, so all the other stuff is going on. I don't need to focus so much on the props. I don't need to do these little stupid actions that they're saying, these little things. And, you know, and then I get uncomfortable, and then I start doing it again, and then the money's not coming in, and I find these ways. And so the next tool for me is the phone, which is, again, I hate, because I don't want to talk to people. Like, I'd rather just, you know, it's funny. It's like my wife, she's like, I don't even know why you ask me anything. She's like, you already say, I know, I'm doing it. Like, that's, I act like an 8-year-old when somebody says, so you're calling me for a suggestion, so maybe you can call a couple more people about this. I'm like, I already did. So it's very hard for me to ask for help, because it's not that it's not that I'm already doing it as much as I feel like I should already know how to do it. So for me, when I'm calling you to say, hey, I'm not feeling so hot about this or this or this, part of me, and since I was 8 years old, has been, you're supposed to know how to figure this out. You're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to know how to deal with this situation. And just recently I was in a thing, I was just telling some guys, I was like, a business thing happening, and it was like, you know, the stress level was so huge because I just didn't have the answer. I didn't have the tools in my own little toolkit except to reach out. And so I started reaching out to people in the program. I reached out to people not in the program, a professional thing. And I sat down and I wrote down what they said, and I took these notes, and I called the person back and said, this is what I would like a week. This is what I would like a day. This is what I would like for, you know, an agreement. And I hung up the phone and like I wanted to throw up. It was so hard for me just to say, this is what I'm worth. And yet at the same time, it was like, I'm worth way more than that. And at the same time, if they had said it's $10, I'm like, are you sure? Cause I could do it for five. I mean, it's like, that's how I got in the program. You know, I literally if you ask me how much I'm supposed to do, you know, how much I want for something, if I thought it was worth $500, I'd say $350 so I could get the job. But if you said two, I would say, cool, 200. Yeah, that's fine. You know, and then resent you and hate you and say you don't understand how great I am. Reaching out to three people had been a huge thing for me, both phone or text or email even, was super important. And then the other tool that I wanted to focus on was awareness. I was doing my taxes on Friday with my wife, which is like kryptonite. It's like, thank you. 1 minute, or is that this time? And it was like my kryptonite, and I was like, I'm going to get through this. And because of the clarity, we could sit down and go like, we actually did okay. Here's where we did. We took care of ourselves like we said we're going to take care of ourselves for this day. And that was something that was different than it's ever been before. So thank you. Oh, I do have 1 more minute. Oh. Okay. So the conversation this time wasn't me as the 8-year-old kid saying, honey, I didn't really figure out about that we might owe money because it was the 1099s. And like you said that you were going to do the thing with the, you know, instead we were like, here's the numbers. And we've known the numbers this whole time. And even though we just had a baby and we thought, you know, they're supposed to bring like money. And we thought to ourselves, like our money and career has, everybody's like, don't worry. You got the baby's going to come. You're going to have all this money. Don't worry. It's like in our minds, nothing has happened. No money's come in, no jobs, no anything. And he's 15 months old. We're going to lose everything. And we had the numbers. And I was like, actually, babe, we did pretty good last year. How is that possible? Because we thought we didn't, you know, in our minds, in the minds in terms of what we thought we had done. Personally, I already knew because I had my numbers, but she hadn't. So I was like, so we're here. Look, it's all here. So anyway, I'm very grateful for so many of the tools, and it's a reminder that figuring it out is not one of them.
That 3-3-1 plan that Zoya did, please. I'm Michael, I'm a debtor. This is very exciting. You know, they're laughing a lot more in that room as far as I can tell. You sure you don't want to go in there? Like, okay. Just, what's funny about that? God, jeez, you're right. Let's stay. I heard a good joke the other day, I'll tell you that. So... First of all, you know, we're also sensitive to shaming now, that I won't ask for a show of hands of how many people have read the tools outside of a meeting in the last week, year, 4 years, whatever. I don't know how long it was before. When I found out that I was on this panel and that it was about the tools, I was like, okay, I got to read the tools. I read them at lunch today, finally. And I've sent them to other people too. Like I have them on my computer. I've sent them to other people and said, read the tools, you know, like haven't read the tools. But I did read them at lunch and they're awesome. And I encourage you to read the tool, like actually read the tools. Many of us use some of them all the time. I don't even think that it's I probably can find a way in which I've used every tool or use every tool, but like I probably only need to focus on a couple of them consistently at any given time to like keep my program healthy and alive. And so, you know, I came to DA living a life based on my feelings. And, you know, I would occasionally have a spike of excitement, mania is probably a better word for it, and then be flooded with ideas, maybe even come up with the plan, and that was the last we saw the plan, is in that peak of that mania. And most of the time, though, it was fear, 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 figuring stuff out, figuring stuff out, figuring stuff out, getting the results of living a life based on my feelings that are all over the place. Even when I have total recovery, even when I'm doing my absolute best, my feelings can be all over. And if I live my life based on my feelings, I get a life of results that are just as wild and crazy as those feelings are. So when I came to DA, what I've realized happened is I started to live a life based on principles, spiritual principles, ideally, you know? And the tools have many spiritual principles represented in them, is what I saw when I read them today. and so the tools are awesome because, you know, it's like, you know, there's the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, the 12 concepts. You know, for me, that's like, I got, you know, whatever. They're all miraculous. But the tools I can sink my teeth into on a daily basis. So meetings, you know. And when I read these, that I heard things in them that I hadn't heard. Record maintenance, you know. I need to clean up my records for sure. I'm going to read record maintenance. We maintain records of our daily income and expenses, of our savings, and of the retirement of any portions of our outstanding debts. And, you know, like, of course, I get it. Absolutely. This is Debtors Anonymous. I work a Debtors Anonymous program. But, like, do I do that? Really? Not quite like I could, that's for sure. And I just see, you know, like my whole life changed when I started to write down my numbers. And I keep numbers. I've gone in and out of keeping numbers, but I'm keeping numbers right now, and that's great. But not, I am not acknowledging in my numbers my retired debt, for one thing. So anyway, that was another tool. Sponsorship. Here's a fundamental spiritual principle of my recovery, maybe the most important one, and that is my ideas are prone to my crazy. When I run my ideas by another fellow whose ideas for themselves are prone to their crazy, somehow something happens. Recovery starts to happen. Some spiritual thing starts to happen when I share what I'm thinking. They can share back about me in a way they can't share about themselves, and I can't share about myself. But I can share back to them. I can reflect, and that's what happens in a PRG, you know? So sponsorship, I'm going to read what the sponsorship tool. It's tool number three, sponsorship. We have found it essential to our recovery to have a sponsor and to be a sponsor. And that's a big thing that I noticed in the tools, like showing up to be of service, like actually going to the meeting, not because I quote need a meeting, but because like I can go there to be of service. Like other people need a meeting also. And when I show up, I'm being of service simply by putting myself in the seat. So we have found it essential to our recovery to have a sponsor and to be a sponsor. A sponsor is a recovering debtor who guides us through the 12 steps and shares his or her own experience, strength, and recovery. I want to share other people's experience, strength, and recovery by and large. My debting disease is about a fear of not being enough when it comes right down to it. And that's my knee-jerk reaction to pretty much anything. Is that the first? That's the second? Okay. Okay, thank you. And so my knee-jerk reaction to anything is pretty much either I'm way better than them, I don't need that, or I'm not good enough, I can't have it. And so I don't believe in my own experience, strength, and hope. But when I look at what's happened to my life as a result of showing up in this program and doing my best to live my life based on these spiritual principles, all of a sudden I have a wealth, literally, of experience, strength, and hope. I'm going to read the pressure relief groups and pressure relief meetings tool just for the heck of it, just because we've all mentioned it and it's so powerful, as most of us are aware, but it's really cool to read. Number four, pressure relief groups and pressure relief meetings. After we have gained some familiarity with the DA program, I find that very instructive, we organize pressure relief groups consisting of ourselves and two other recovering debtors who have not incurred unsecured debt for at least 90 days and who usually have more experience in the program. The group meets in a series of pressure relief meetings to review our financial situation. These meetings typically result in the formulation of a spending plan and action plan. So that plan that I come up with at the peak of my mania is different than that. I'm bouncing it off two other people that have experience in the program. They're giving me feedback. Mark described it so well, you know, like, wait, but you guys don't understand. And, you know, like, I'll never forget my first 10 PRGs were with the same people. And over and over and over again, that nodding, knowing, nodding. So patient, so kind, so kind. In and of itself, that was just the kindness of the people in the PRG was so helpful to me. It changed my life, that part alone. Those two people are angels in my world. Number five, spending plan. I said that I would, here's the other one. And I already hit on this a little bit. It's service. Number 11, service. We perform service at every level, personal, meeting, intergroup, and world service. Service is vital to our recovery. Only through service can we give to others what so generously has been given to us. And, you know, I can't say it any better than that. Here's another one that I thought was really awesome. Wait, what happened to it? Oh, there it is. Number 10. So I have 1 minute. Okay. Number 10, business meetings. We attend business meetings that are held monthly. Many of us have long harbored feelings that business, in quotes, was not a part of our lives, but for others more qualified. I was never a business person until I got to this program. Yet participation in running our own program teaches us how our organization operates and also helps us to become responsible for our own recovery. I used to freak out in business meetings and like blurt out crazy stuff. All my resentments, I believe, I should have been thrown out of meetings for sure. And last week we had a business meeting and my regular Saturday morning meeting. And I blurted out somebody it was like so-and-so, you know, I'll say John, I'll pretend that was their name. John, that was my outside voice. So my time's up. My only point about that is that through business meetings, I've learned to sit calmly through uncomfortable situations. And for me, the way I am in a business meeting now is unimaginably different than the way I was before. And I'm sure that that has reflected itself in my life outside the meeting. So thanks for letting me share.
Give our speakers another big round of applause. Thank you so much. In closing, we would like to remind you that in Debtors Anonymous, we practice Tradition 12, which is a principle of anonymity. This assures us the freedom to express ourselves at meetings and in private conversations without fear that our comments will be repeated. We keep what is shared at meetings confidential. As we work the steps and practice DA's traditions and concepts, we are reminded that recovery is possible and that we are all here for a common purpose, to recover from compulsive debting one day at a time